Today's share in the Dear Shu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Nun Vov Omud Beis. We're in the middle of the third volume of Mishnah Berurah in Simin Shin Chav Dalad, which we'll get close to, if not actually finished today. And today we'll be talking a lot about how you're allowed to feed animals that you own or that you don't own, and what type of animals on Shabbos. Very practical and important share. The Mechaber starts on the very bottom of Kuf Nun Vov Omud Aleph with Sif Tes, and he writes, Ein Ov Sines HaGomel, you're not allowed to overfeed, force feed camel on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah explains the Sifkarton Chaf Dalet, Kolze Mishum Tirchi Yaseira. Everything that we're going to say over here that's prohibited is you're trying to fatten up these animals, and it's not Tsar Balei Chaim if you don't do this, as we'll see, and it's not necessary for the animal or for you to do this on Shabbos, other than it's a Tirchi Yaseira, so you'll have a fatter animal, so none of these things are allowed on Shabbos. Of course, you're allowed to feed your animals on Shabbos, but this is force feeding or overfeeding them. The Hainu, what does this mean? Ovesin, Shema Achilo Biyodo, you take with your hands, Kol Kach, and stick it into the animal's mouth, it's as if you make their stomach into a big trough. You're force-feeding and overfeeding this animal so much that it is eating much more than it needs for its own survival. You're doing this to fatten it up, so when you shecht it, you'll have a bigger animal, a better animal, so that's not allowed to be done on Shabbos. Likewise, a lo darsin. What does darsin mean? Dainu shadoris lamaychol begrono. You're stuffing in food into its mouth, lamakum she'enu yachol laharziro, to a point that it's so far down in its throat that it can't regurgitate it, can't bring it up, and it's going to swallow it. So that's excessive feeding. So these types of excessive feeding are not permitted. However, avol malitin. We'll see malitin means to put it in the animal's mouth, but in a way that the animal doesn't want it, it could spit it out. Ein ma'mirin, likewise, you're not allowed to use this force feeding, this stuffing, eswagolim, the calves over here. However, you're also allowed to avol mal'itin, you can give it less deep into its throat. And now the Mechaber explains what I just said. What is hamra and what is mal'itin? Ezo hamra, l'mokum she'en yichol lachzir. It's so deep that the animal can't regurgitate, it can't bring it up. Halata, however, putting it in its mouth where it is not so deep and it could put it out if it wanted to, l'mokum she'yichol lachzir, that is allowed. And the Rama adds over here, Haga, Vidin, Taranagolim, Vavozim, the same rule applies for chickens and for geese, Kidin, Agolim. He brings around the Maria, the same thing applies over here to the calves, applies as well to chickens and geese, and we'll explain all of this right now in the Mishnah Berurah. So Mishnah Berurah, Sivkatan Chavhei, tells us that you can't put it so deep that it won't be able to bring it back up. Shetoche lo lifnim mibe sabliya. The Mishnah Berurah tells us that you're putting it so deep into its throat that it has to go down, it can't come up. Sivkatan Chavav, the Mishnah Berurah adds, Mash Begumara, based upon the Gemara, it says, the kosh eino marbits as a behema. If you're not forcing the animal to sit down, so to say, any yochel litchov kol kach biomik, you can't go and force in so much food. And that's called, if you're feeding it in a standing up position, by definition, a situation where the animal could bring it up if it wanted to, and therefore that's not called the prohibited force feeding. Sivkot and Chavzayin, the Ramah told us that the same din applies for chickens and geese as for calves. The Hainu, the Mishnah Berurah explains, Sha'asu litchol begronim, you're not allowed to place it inside the throat, the food, hamayichol, achaloyu yichol lachziro, to the point where it can't go back up, it must go down. Va'avazos shemefatimim osom, these geese that you're trying to fatten up, v'hurgulu b'chol, and because you're force-feeding them all week long, they're used to lechol ayide hamra, they only will eat now based upon force-feeding. They almost don't eat regularly anymore, they're so used to being force-fed. So in this situation, mutur lomar, you'd be allowed to tell a non-Jewish worker for you, lamrosim, to go and force-feed them in this fashion, because mishum tzar belichayim, the animal would actually not eat if you didn't force-feed it. However, achlo yamre oson kim pam echad b'yom. You're only allowed to do this one time because then the animal will not be hungry after being force-fed one time. Asher regilim lecho shtei pa'amim b'yom. Even though normally you force-feed it twice a day to fatten it up, here you won't have tzar b'leichayim if you only force-feed it once a day. But you are allowed to ask the non-Jewish person to force-feed the animal for you because it's so used, the goose over here, to eating being force-fed, it won't eat regularly anymore. And this is brought down Ken Kasa B'Tshuvas Ramah in Simenayin Tess. Umash v'shom, it appears from what the Ramah wrote, the Ileko Ein Yehudi, if there is no non-Jewish person to do this, Shari Hamra Afay de Yisrael Mishum Tzar B'Lechayim. This would actually even be permitted if there's no non-Jewish person to do this for you on Shabbos, even for a Jewish person to force-feed his geese one time, because the animal will not eat otherwise in its Tzar B'Lechayim. However, he says, V'tov Laso Se De Kotten, if you're going to have to do this, it's better to have a Kotten do this, and that is brought down, Akan L'Shona Morgan Abroad, Mesim Shinei Sif Kotten Yud Beis, who brings that halacha. However, the El Yerabah disagrees. Avo B'Sefer El Yerabah, Hichmir Shalol L'Hamros Ayde Yisrael. He says a Jewish person should not do this no matter what. based upon the Marshal that we just brought down, Uqadas Marshal also is that. The Chayim bin Nisiv Chayim Machmer is that. The Nisiv Chayim also is Machmer. Then the Mishabur says, Achekach Motsosi b'Meiri b'Kudushi Aran, Shinitvas Mechodosh al Shabbos. He then found subsequently a new Svarim from the Meiri and the Kudushi Aran that were now printed on the Gemara in Shabbos. Mashma Gamken Kedaitom Kedasa Osrim. They also hold a more strict opinion. And he says, look more about this in the Bir Halacha. And if you look in the Bir Halacha, Dibur Amaschil, Vidin Tarnagolim Avazim, he brings down a very, very important halacha from the Shiuri Bracha. He says, in the name of one of the Gedolim, Halavai lo yali tuliolim. This force feeding is not a good idea. Forget about Shabbos. It's not a good idea on a weekday as well. Sha'ovim lakal misurim. You're really causing the animal pain and suffering by force feeding the animals. V'yadul shefamim havesh nokov v'lav adatayu. Also, sometimes you're going to cause a puncture in the windpipe over here in the trachea, and therefore you're not even going to know it, and the animal is going to be a trefa. And he says, "Va'oyla morim kisheinam mashkich mazeh." And woe is to the people supervising the shchit over here if they're not careful to check these animals and to look to see if there are any trefas in them. So a very important idea over here. While you may be allowed to do this, it's not strongly recommended to do this even on a weekday. In the earlier Dibur HaMaschil of Lamokum Shichol Al-Hatzeh, the Chofetz Chaim writes in the Bir Halacha from the Meiri that it's mashma k'tzas the dafka biyad v'lo b'chli. When you force feed these animals, you should do it with your hand and not with a specialized utensil. And finally, the issue footnote number 12 brings down Legabi Havasas Evozim in regards to force feeding these geese. He brings down the Das of the Ramah, Shem Eno Yochol Lahamros Aide Nochim Muta Aide Yisrael. He says he doesn't bring down the El Yerab and Sharposkim Osrim Aide Yisrael B'chalofen, who forbid you to do this no matter what, via a Jewish person. Sif Yud. The Mechaber now writes, Mutu Litein Meichol Befim Shol Tarnagolim. You're allowed to go put food directly into the mouth of the chickens. Now, this sounds exactly what the Ramah just told us a second ago. Why did the Ramah mention it there if the Mechaber is going to mention it over here? And that's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah asked in Sif Katan Chav Ches. Hayu L'mokim Shicholim L'Hachzir. We're talking here that you're only allowed to put it into the mouth, not deep enough that it can't get brought back up, but if it's only into the beginning part of the mouth, it's allowed. The Mishnah Berurah says, "What din atzmo shezocha Ramah mikodem." This is exactly what the Ramah just told us at the end of Sivtes. Uktsas pelal Ramah. It's a little bit surprising that the Ramah would do this. Mas ho moset bezet. What's he eating over here? Achrish niska b'shulchan aruch behedja. Since in Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud it's going to mention it, so why did the Ramah mention exactly what the Shulchan Aruch is going to say in Sif Yud at the end of Sivtes? That's not his Ramah's style. Maybe the Mishnah Berurah suggests, "V'avshur k'deish lo nite b'chavonas ha'machaber." This is to make sure that you don't make a mistake in Sif Tes without reading Sif Yud. So the Ramah brought it over there just to make sure that you don't make a mistake. Furthermore, V'dal the Mishnah Berurah says, "D'har shematir l'makom shichol la'atzer." That which we said you can put it into the beginning of the mouth. Haynu davkim huzoyer or shlo l'taltlo. You have to be careful not to move the animal. If you're going to move the animal, then you have a problem. The kol balichayim he muktzim, and you wouldn't be allowed to move the animal to position it to put the food in the mouth, as we've already explained. Kanal b'simin shin chesif mem ayin sham. The issue foot number 13 brings down, however, if there's going to be tzar balei chayim or there's going to be a financial loss by not feeding the animal, so the Chazon Ish says you would be allowed to be makel over here in this issur of muktzah in order to feed the animal. Furthermore, Rav Nissen Karlish Shlita adds over here that if your intention isn't to move the animal, but the animal moves a little bit because of your putting the food in the mouth, that's also not considered that you're moving the animal, and that's not osur. Sif Yud Aleph. The Mechaber writes, "Ein nos dimayim velo mazonos lifnei devorim velo lifnei yone shovach v'yone aliyah." So the Mechaber is telling us a din. You're not allowed to go feed animals that aren't your own responsibility or that you're not allowed to raise. And therefore, you can't put food or water in front of an animal, such as bees, even though they're your bees, as we'll see. V'lo l'fnei yonei shovach, not the doves in your dovecot, and likewise the doves in your attic, and likewise not in front of a pig. However, I will notice them if they are bosses of a tarnagolim, v'yonei baisos. But you are allowed to go and give food and water to geese and chickens and doves that are in your house. And likewise for your dog that you're responsible for. Now, a lot of dinim over here that we have to look at. Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Chav Tes tells us you're not allowed to give it to the bees and to the various types of doves. So he says, afilu hem shlo. In this situation, even if they're yours, nevertheless, they don't need you to feed them. They feed themselves, so to say. And therefore, the shchichel hu b'davar, there's plenty of food available for them in the wild, and therefore, v'tircha shalol tzorchi, for you to feed them would be unnecessary, excessive work, which is not allowed. The issue footnote number 14 brings down very interesting dinim. Bale chayim she'em is onoseyam aleyam, an animal that you're not responsible for. However, the food that you're giving them is not easily available. They can get other food, but they can't get this food. So the Chazon Ish writes that if somebody wants to be makel on the lenient opinion of the Ran to be able to feed them, that would be allowed over here as well. Likewise, if animals aren't really dependent on you for food, but you feed them, you have a cat outside your house, and every day you feed it, so on Shabbos, it's going to come back to your house. It's not going to be able to really go and get food from the wild anymore. It's so used to getting it from you. So the Kaf HaChaim says that's allowed as well. The issue footnote number 15 brings down, if you're going to throw food out anyway, and there happen to be animals over there, that's not a problem. And certainly, if this was the place that you were going to throw them out, so you're allowed to throw the food over there, and you don't have to be concerned that maybe an animal will come and eat it. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Lama tells you you can't feed a pig. Why can't you feed a pig, even if it's yours? The aim is on also a love, because you're not allowed to raise pigs in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, you're not allowed to go and feed it. Ukhidisa v'choshe mishpat, simen sof tes. However, if you do have pigs in a legally acquired way, somebody paid you back, he owed you money, and he didn't have money, so he gave you back pigs, you're allowed to keep them until you get a good price for them, so you're allowed to keep them in that situation. And therefore, in that situation, you are responsible for their food. In a situation where you're allowed to raise pigs, you would be allowed to go and feed them. The issue foot number 16 brings down, likewise, if you got the pigs through a Yerusha, let's say the person's father wasn't religious, or the person's father was not Jewish. So in that situation, and you got a Yerusha from them, you'd be allowed to go keep them. Likewise, if you trapped them, and you ended up having them in your traps, you'd be allowed to go and sell them and keep them until you can get a good price for them. The issue foot number 17 says that, of course, you're allowed to go and feed a non-Jewish person on Shabbos. That's absolutely permissible, because you're mechuyev to be mefarnes, to go and support aniyim she'enam yehudim, to go and support non-Jewish poor people as well. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Lamed Aleph tells us you can feed a dog, and he says, afilu kelev shelo megadlo beveso, mutter, even if it's not a dog that's living in your house, you're allowed to go and feed it. The mitzvah kitzas gam kein litin lo mazonos, because there's a mitzvah to go feed dogs in general. Kamo shamu chazal, because chazal tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on dogs. Shechos HaKadosh Baruch Hu olav. Lefisha mazonosav mu'otim. Because dogs have a hard time getting food when they're in the wild. U'masha chiloso b'meyav shlo yis'ako shlo shiyom. God did dogs a favor, so to say, to make them feel like they're full. The food stays in their stomach undigested for a couple of days, 3 days, in order that they should constantly feel that they have food, even though food is difficult for them. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy on dogs, we're supposed to have mercy on dogs as well. However, he tells us, look in the El Yerabah for more details. However, lifnei kelev ra, a vicious dog, a bad dog, osir, you're not allowed to feed them, because kamo lifnei chazir di osir, because you're not allowed to raise them. Mishum de osir legadol chazirim, the kelev ra, because you're not supposed to raise pigs, and you're likewise not supposed to raise dangerous dogs. Then he tells us, yesh no akim liten chitim lifnei opus b'shabbos shira, there's a very widespread custom to put out food for the birds on Shabbos, of Parshas Oz Yashir, Parshas B'shalach, the Eino Nocho. And he says, this is not correct. Shahare aim is an osan alecha, because those birds, they're not your responsibility, and you're not allowed to feed animals that aren't your responsibility on Shabbos. And this is brought down by the Magen Avraham. Now, this is a very, very big subject, which we don't have the time to discuss. Let us suffice to say that there are many poskim that follow this psak very stringently and say that it's usher, but there are poskim that find this psak not to be the only halacha, and that if you wish to, there is room to be mako to feed birds on Shabbos Shira, but it's a very complex discussion and not for right now. The issue footnote number 18 brings down, from the Mishnah Berurah, that this even implies a wild dog, a hefker dog, you are allowed to give them food based upon this Shulchan Aruch over here and also the Shulchan Aruch Harav. And this is especially true if you know that the dog is hungry, because based upon the Hillim and from Ashrei, Verachamov, Al-Komas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on them. What about fish in your house that you have not for eating purposes but for beauty purposes? You have an aquarium in your house. So Shlomo Zalman Zatzal says that that's considered that their food is dependent upon you and therefore you can feed them. Mechaber in Sif Yud Bey says, Mutu lahachil tolas hameshi. You're allowed to go feed domesticated silkworms on Shabbos. This is a very fascinating idea that people for 5,000 years have been domesticating these silkworms, these tolas hameshi, in order to produce silk. And they have to be fed. And they're actually not able to eat in the wild anymore. They're solely dependent upon you when they're domesticated. So the Mechaber tells us you can feed your silkworms on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Kot Lamed Bey says, Lefi shimezdono seim alecha, because they're dependent upon you for food. Shein lo ma shiyochlu, if you don't feed them, ki only what a person gives them, they can't anymore look in the wild for their food. And this is therefore identical with Domi La'avazim and Sarnagolim, your own geese and chickens that you're allowed to feed. However, one has to be careful not to move them because they're muktzah like all other animals. The issue footnote number 19 brings down from Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, that if you are able to feed such animals, any animals that are your responsibility, on Erev Shabbos enough that they will last through Shabbos, that's preferable than feeding them on Shabbos. Sif Yud Gimel, the Mechaber writes, Ma'amid Odom Behemto Agabi Yasovim Chubarim. A person's allowed to go and steer his animals and bring these animals actually to a place where there is grass that's attached to the ground, and the animal can eat it, of course, that's not a problem, and it's not a concern that maybe the animal doesn't eat it well, you're going to go rip it up, that you're going to pull up the grass for the animal. However, But you're not allowed to go bring the animal to a muktzah place that's, let's say, wood or grasses that were set aside for another purpose, not for animal food. Now you're bringing your animal over there. The animal doesn't want to eat it. There we are concerned. Muktzah is a very light isser in the eyes of people as opposed to ripping up grass. That's an isser daraisa. Everybody knows you can't do that. And therefore, b'chayshina, the rabbis were concerned, shemayitin law mimenu biyodayim, that you may come to go and pick up the muktzah pieces of food over here and give it to your animal, and that you're not allowed to do. The davkula mida al gabov mamush. This is what we said over here, that you're going to put it there directly. However, avo lamo bifoneh, but just to stand in front of the animal, be'inyan shelo tucha lahatos eladero sham, and therefore force the animal to go in that direction without moving it there, that would be mutter. That certainly is permissible. Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat Lama Gimel, explains over here, the isa b'mechilta, it's brought down in the mechilta, that you have to let your animals rest, l'man yanuach. So yachalo yanichenu tole shviyoker, you should think maybe that you're not allowed to let it go out and graze. So ksiv, l'man yanuach, it means that it should rest. Ve'en ze nuach el tzar. If you didn't let it go and eat, it would be a tzar and not a menucha for the animal. The issue footnote number 20 brings out a very important idea. Why is this not called over here that you're causing the animal to do work by uprooting the grass? In regards to damages, for example, the Gemara in Baba Kama says, if your animal eats something, you're responsible for it. So why aren't you responsible for it over here? So Chazon Ish explains the difference, that here you're not doing any tircha. You're just bringing the animal over there. And therefore, there's no tircha over here in doing a melacha. However, in regards to the animal doing the damage, it's your animal that's doing the damage, and therefore you are responsible. The issue footnote number 21 says, if the animal doesn't need the food right there and now, and you're bringing it over there to uproot the grass, so Rishlomo Zalman Zatzal says you shouldn't do that. They then bring down the discussion from the Abni Nezer, can you go sick your dog on wildlife? Are you allowed to tell your dog, go get that rabbit, go get that item over there? So he brings down that that would be usur. If the dog will definitely capture the animal because of both mechamer, you're directing your animal to do something, and because of shvisas behemto. However, Rishon Karl Shlita disagrees, and he says, "Kivin shedarkov an also shall a kelev lotzud balechayim acherim." Since that's what the dogs do, so ain't over bekachas shvisas behemto. That's not called making your animal do work for you. But there would be a problem of tzeda over here, of trapping. And Rav Ozzes Zatzal and Shevet Alevi brings down, "Shol the ain't adam osek klum mishas udifas a kelev." You're not doing anything; you just sick the dog. Now the dog's doing all the rest of the work. It's not considered kemachamer, and it would be permissible. Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Lamadala says, we're not concerned that you're going to go and uproot the grass. The Yisur Chomer, as I mentioned before, it's an Yisur Daraisa, a very strong Yisur Vizarbo, and nobody's going to make the mistake and think that they can uproot the grass. Sifkat Lamad, hey, that you're allowed to put the animal, steer it towards the muktzah. Kivin she'eno karov lo, kokach lek lamachish. Since you only steered it over there, we're not concerned that you're going to go and pick up the muktzah item and feed it to the animal. Sif Yudala, the Mechaber writes, not lim meichel milfnei chamor venosim milfnei shor. You're allowed to take food that a donkey is eating and give it to your ox. However, the other way around, you can't. Avol ein not lim milfnei shor. You're not allowed to take the food from the ox and give it litain lifnei chamor. Why is the difference? Bipnei shenimas beriri hashor v'noroi o lachamor. Because donkeys don't drool, and a shor, an ox, will eat donkey food. But since shor, oxen, drool, the donkey will not eat the food that has the drool of the ox in it, and therefore you're doing extra unnecessary work. As the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkat Lamed Vav, he writes, she'ein hashor kotz b'mayichal hanishar min lachamor. Oxen are not disgusted by the leftovers from the donkey, she'ein matil rir, because it doesn't drool into it. As opposed to Sifkat Lamed Zayin, that the donkey will not eat the drool-laden food of the ox, rak ayidat chak, only under extenuating circumstances if it's starved, and machach b'chinam, and therefore taking it from the ox and giving it to the donkey is unnecessary excessive work. But this is only true for davka lechamor she'eno mino who cuts b'mayichol b'nei arir. This is only true for a donkey, that when you give a donkey food from another species, it won't take it because of the drool. However, to give the drool from an ox, from one ox to another ox, avol ifneishor acher shu mino, that's the same species as the first ox, eno cuts b'nei arir, it doesn't get disgusted by the drool, umut l'kuliyama, you're allowed to do this. Ramon now adds hagah, v'yesh machmirun gam ki mishar mine behemos likach milifnei achas v'litin lifnei acheres she'eno mino. Brings out from the Mordechai in the Smag, this rule applies across the board. You can't get from one species of animal to another species of animal because it's going to be disgusted by it. However, the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkat Lamed Ches, the Shema Yimtzor Rir Ba'Ochel, the reason is because it may be disgusted by the spittle, the saliva in the food, v'yakutzbo, and it won't like it, v'yatiruch b'chinu, and it will have worked excessively for no reason. However, he brings down, v'kosu achronim, de'elimchos b'yata nogim heter, those that do this, however, you don't have to protest, de'eshlam amin lismo, because there are those poskim that say you can do this. Unless you're certain, in lo b'minim how you do him, unless you're certain that this species, shemaychol nimas beririn ayosim epiem, that it definitely would be disgusting to the other species from the first species, the kotz behemin, it won't eat it, hamino acher, the second species, won't eat from the disgusting food from the first species, shunosin lefana, that you put in front of it, only in that situation is called excessive tircha and would not be allowed. The Chavetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha Dibur Matzah L'Hachil Tolas HaMeshi brings down some additional dinim, interesting, about how you're allowed to feed the silkworms. You're allowed to go and spread it out in front of them because otherwise they won't be able to eat it. And likewise, you can take away the withered pieces because they won't eat it. They won't be able to get to the good pieces. And Dirshu footnote number 23 brings down, therefore, based upon this, you'd be allowed to switch aquarium water, according to some poskim, because if the fish will die, if they don't switch the water, you'd be allowed to go and keep them alive in this fashion. Others disagree, however, and say that this wouldn't be true for fish that you're not planning to eat. If it's just fish for beauty, like in an aquarium, this would not be allowed to switch the water on Shabbos or Yom Tov. We did not get to the end of this siman, and Mitzvah Hashem will finish off Tesvav tomorrow. That concludes today's shir.